Everybody needs to be prayed over by Jaime. That. Wow. He'll be outside afterwards and we can form a line. It'll be good. As Melanie alluded to earlier, we are going to be in John chapter 3. You can find it on page 1059 in your pew Bible or on your smartphone, tablet, other essential devices. But this morning we want to talk about Jesus the Sage. Jesus the Sage. There are several different ways that Christ presents himself in Scripture, and this is one of them. And so we're all on the same page of definition of a sage. A sage is a person of profound wisdom, a perfect person famed for wisdom, someone venerated for the possession of wisdom, judgment, and experience. That's what a sage is. And Jesus gets called a sage by all different kinds of people, and oftentimes to remove him from his deity. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe that he can be both sage and God. I believe that he can be both all wisdom and all powerful deity, Jesus Christ. We see different versions of sages in the media that we watch. If you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the sage, or one of many in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, would be Gandalf. I will not say, do not weep, for not all tears are evil. When a sage speaks, they say things and it doesn't quite, I mean, they're just kind of off the wall, off the cuff. And you have to stop and you have to pause and go, wait, time out. What? What just happened? What is he saying? We love cartoon movies in our household. One of our favorites is Kung Fu Panda. Just being honest with you this morning, like Kung Fu Panda. Skadoosh. It's good. It's good. But Agwe on there had several different ones. He's the turtle. The all-wise, powerful Agwe. One often finds his destiny and the road he travels to avoid it. Just let you ponder that for a second. But probably, if I'm honest, my all-time favorite sage character in media is a little green character with pointy ears. His name is Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try. Fear is the path that leads to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Listen to me, you must. There is another sky. Walker.
Can we just have a moment for Yoda? Just a moment for Yoda.
But oftentimes these sage characters, right? You go to the sage character for the answer. You have your set list of questions, and you bring them to that person of wisdom. And when you bring them to that person of wisdom, and you present your question, a completely different thing happens. Something completely different gets brought up. All right, and maybe you've even prepped yourself. Right now you're thinking about some people in your life that are wise and wisdom, and you come to them and you bring them something. What should I do for my life? What should I do for work? And you get something like, the gestation period of a lion is 109 days. What? That has nothing to do with the question. Come on. And in this passage of scripture here this morning in John chapter 3, and probably one of the most famous verses, whether you're a believer or not, is John 3:16. We see it all over the place. They're at sporting events, there's people that are paid to sit behind the basketball hoop and behind the goalpost with a sign that just simply says John 3:16. And oftentimes we know the verse and we don't know the story. And so this morning, let's look at this story and let's see this thing in context, because it really brings out into the light this all-wise person that Jesus is and presents himself as. In John chapter 3, it says in verse 1, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.'" Now, can we just stop there for a second? Put yourself in Nicodemus's shoes, all right? This guy is, he is a leader of leaders. He's a leader of smart, wise people. And the context here is night, and there's a wide range of reasons why people think he did this at night. Some people think he did it because he was trying to hide from the rest of the leaders, that he didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. But maybe, just maybe, he had heard all these stories about Jesus, and there was an inkling inside of him that Jesus was who he said he was. And so out of respect, he comes to Christ in a moment where there would not be a bunch of people around, so that if he does stump Jesus and he's not who he said he is, and he's just a wise person, he doesn't make Jesus look like a fool. So he comes to Jesus out of respect with a very important question. Are you who they say you are? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one performs these signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And then Jesus' response to his question takes us in a completely different direction. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." I wasn't talking about birth. I just want to know, you're performing miracles, you're doing these great, amazing things. Are you the one? Jesus says you must be born again. I don't understand. And so he does what probably any one of us would do. Okay, so what does that look like? How can someone be born when they are old? Very simple response. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born! Exclamation point. Please answer the question. Let's stop talking about birth. This is very uncomfortable. Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." Wait a second, what happened to the rebirth piece? Now we're talking about water and Spirit. I'm confused, and I'm a really smart person. But Jesus is coming down just a little bit more to explain just a little bit more about what he's talking about. Water was used for all different kinds of reasons in Scripture. And the most important was purification. And so this purifying piece that needs to take place in order to make you afresh and anew, Jesus is beginning to allude to. "You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." At this point, I'm just being honest. At this point, I'm pulling my hair out. I don't understand. Just talk to me like I'm a normal person. I've had several different people in my life that I would consider sages or wise people. And one of them was our friend Martin Sanders, who's not with us this morning. He's visiting fam. But I'll never forget one of my first interactions with him. I was taking a class with him on, it's a class that doesn't exist anymore, but basically it's for spiritual formation. And I went in with a series of questions because I heard he was this brilliant, like really smart person. Don't tell him that. That will go to his head. But I went in, like I had a list of questions like to ask him. And I was all excited. Like, all right, I'm going to sit down. I get to listen. I get to talk to this really, really smart person. And I sit down and I go to start my questions. Like halfway in it, he goes, I have a question for you. I'm like, no, hold on a second. I got my, let me share my list with you. Then you can share your list with me. This is how this works. It's like, no, let me ask you a question. What's the one thing that you haven't told your wife and you know you need to? No, let me ask you my question. No, let me ask you a question. Let's skip all your questions and let's get right down to it. Let's get right down to the truth. Let's bring everything into the light so that God can do what he desires to do in and through you. And Jesus is slowly stripping everything away that Nicodemus has on his plate to get at some very, very important truth. Nicodemus' normal response in verse 9, how can this be? How can all this be? And then he stops and we don't hear him ask another question and we just listen to Jesus explain some amazing truth to him that has somehow resonated with our souls to the point that people hold up signs behind goalposts at football games. And he says, you are an Israelite teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. I want you to know, this is one of the only times in Scripture when Jesus has an interaction with religious leaders where he gives this much information, where he sheds this much truth and this much light and this much wisdom on someone of his caliber, because he knew that Nicodemus came with a heart and an understanding of, I want to find out if this is the true God, if this is the one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And at this point, he is saying, I have the wisdom that you need. I have all the understanding that you need to have in your life, and I am the one that you have been looking for and waiting for. He cannot be both wisdom, he cannot be just a guy who's full of wisdom or deity. Because his wisdom gets thrown out at this point because he's claiming to be God. And that no longer puts him in the category of a wise person. He either is who he said he was or he's not. And he goes further. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for they fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let me shed some light in the whole equation, Nicodemus. You came to me in a private point. Let me take the light that comes from the Father and put it into your soul and bring you to a place where you can trust or not. We've had many sages or wannabe sages throughout the history of time. Many of them. And probably one of the most famous negative sages of all time was Jim Jones. In the late 50s, early 60s, he started this whole campaign of wisdom, exuding wisdom, and the benefits of living in community in a socialistic kind of environment where everybody has the same. And people listened and they absorbed it because it sounded great. You have what I have and I have what you have and we're all together and everything's going to be all hunky-dory until he started going a little loopy. And there was some brainwashing starting to take place. And people were separated from their families. Maybe indicators that this is an unhealthy sage. And then convinced almost 1,000 followers to follow him to Ghana. And then we have this phrase that we still use today. He convinced all his followers that the whole world was out to get them. So we all have to go to the nether regions together. And so he slipped poison in with Kool-Aid and they all drank it. And we have this phrase today, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Anytime we hear partial truths or somebody presents something that sounds a little bit off, well, somebody's been drinking the Kool-Aid. Sometimes when people talk about Jesus, and it's just Jesus, 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 somebody's been drinking the Kool-Aid, and he gets lumped in. It's a very simple response this morning, very simple response. It's a response of trust. You may have put your trust in Christ and have a relationship with him, and something comes in your life today and you look at it and go, oh, am I going to trust him with this? When a child comes in your life and you bear the weight of having to take care of this thing for all eternity, there's a certain amount of trust level in God that you have to give him to release them into the world and trust that God's going to take care of them. And we have this enemy of our souls that comes along to steer us into false truth and false understanding. Can I just give you a freebie this morning to help you in this process? I believe the devil's a liar. I believe that the enemy's a liar. And I liken him to, just for you, this is a freebie. I liken him to the hognose snake. I don't know if you've ever heard of the hognose snake before. You're all going to Google the hognose snake afterwards. The hognose snake is a snake that lives in North America. And what it does is when you come upon it, when you're out in the wilderness, it flips over on its back and it emits a smell and it plays dead. And so an animal that comes along, fox, coyote, whatever, comes along and goes to grab it, oh, it's dead, I'm just going to move on, and I'm going to go over here. The enemy of your soul goes, I'm not here, I'm not around, you don't have to worry about me, just go about your day, but let me continue to just throw little half-truths in your life, and little mistrusts in your life, and little things that distract you from all truth in your life. And then when you realize, when the hognose snake gets found out that it's not really dead, it flips back over, it rears its head up, and it fans out its neck like a cobra. But it has no fangs. It's not poisonous at all. And when the enemy of your soul gets found out, he rears his head up and tries to overpower you with fear. But he has been defanged. He has no power but fear itself. The enemy of trusting in God, the enemy of the truth of the word, is an issue of fear. And the God of all truth demolished that fear on the cross. And so this morning, we have an opportunity to respond with trust. Either we trust this wise man, this sage, as also deity, or we do not. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, whatever is on our hearts and minds and our souls, I ask that you would invade our lives. I ask that your light would shine. That your light would shine in the areas where we need to trust you today. Lord, I ask that as we sit here this morning, that we would make a decision about how much we're willing to trust you today and this week and this month and this year. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.